You're listening to the Indiana Review Bluecast. In this edition, Liza Whelan, our 2007 Fiction Prize winner, reads from her piece, Nightingale, featured in our 30.1 summer issue.
I'm Liza Whelan. This is an excerpt from my story, Nightingale. Coquila Iqbal's mother was named Sahila, but everyone she knew in Cambridge called her Sally. When she met Mara at Euston Station in London, she bent and kissed her forehead. "Ah, you girls in difficulties," she said, the pitch of her voice both sad and forgiving. She picked up Mara's suitcase and led her away from the platform, through the crowded station and out onto the street. It was a Thursday evening, rush hour. Mara thought the American phrase in her head, and somehow the repetition of those two syllables, rush hour, kept her afloat. They stood in a line for taxis, and then, when Mara was bundled into one of those big black cars, with Sally beside her, the noise of travel and city life was abruptly silenced. She listened for a moment to Sally's voice, directing the driver to King's Cross Station, the sound of it like a rich liquid poured from a dark bottle. Sally settled back in her seat next to Mara. She was extraordinarily tall, her knees were bent at 90 degrees, and still there was no more room to push her feet forward. She seemed almost to float above Mara's head in the dizzy warmth of the taxi. Her perfume was strong, a shrill floral, so unlike the incense, cinnamon, and sweat Coquila carried on her skin. Mara thought the word embalmed. "We'll take the 6 o'clock train to Cambridge and then have something to eat at my house. The procedure is tomorrow morning. Very quick." She snapped her fingers. Like that. "All right," Mara said. "Thank you, Mrs. Iqbal." "You must call me Sally, not Mrs. Anything." "Yes," Mara said in a whisper so low she wasn't sure she'd spoken at all. "I know you're terribly frightened. That's only one thing, though, isn't it? The rest of it is all a tangle, a jumble. You can talk to me about it if you like. I hope you will." Mara nodded and stared out into the gray London evening. It looked like all the books, Dickens, Sherlock Holmes, and all the movies, billows of fog and gloom. Only the clothes were wrong, the wrong century. Though she saw the occasional man or woman wearing a long coat, a duster, a flying scarf. No bonnets, though. If only she could see a bonnet with ribbons, a bow tied under the chin. It was a strange thing to wish for, and yet not. To be out of her own time, her own circumstance. She closed her eyes and shook her head. She could not help herself, even though she knew she was being watched. "How's school going then?" Sally said. "The first weeks of the term." Mara heard the words from a long ways off. She opened her eyes and turned to look into Sally's face, lit by the glow from a small map light attached to the seat. Her skin was the same lovely color as Coquila's, café au lait, but her eyes were bigger and not so tired-seeming. They were like eyes in a painting, in certain paintings, huge, dark, glossy, and they followed Mara's eyes while seeming not to move at all. Yet there was something flat, impenetrable about her entire face, a two-dimensional quality. "It's been interesting," Mara said. "I haven't been able to concentrate all that well, but..." She paused. "To live with all those girls, it's strange. I have one brother at home and no sisters, and I go to a co-ed day school. I think I'm the experiment for them, not the other way around." Sally smiled. "It's so normal for the English," she said. Mara wasn't sure what she meant. "The classes are good. There's a lot of note-taking. But it seems the opposite of normal. There's always a crisis, a girl crying or a girl angry at another girl. Wasn't that true at your school in America?" "I guess so." School seemed very far away. "I remember that the boys sort of turn down the volume or blur the edges. Everything doesn't seem to happen in capital letters." "Dramatic?" "Yes." "But there's a certain freedom without the boys, yes? Power?" "It's as if we're always waiting for them to arrive." "Ah, true. And your dormitory?" "The dorm mistress is wonderful, Miss Franklin." "And Miss Ellis? You know about them, don't you? That they're lovers?" "I wondered. No one seems to mind, though, or to think about it." Oh, it's plenty thought about, but they're excellent teachers. Miss Ellis does a brilliant music program every spring. You know this, I expect. Coquilla says you're a singer. She tells me you have a beautiful voice. Thank you. Don't thank me. I didn't pay you the compliment. I'd like to hear you sing, though, perhaps over the weekend if you feel up to it, or next week. I'll keep you here until Friday. Friday? Just to make sure everything's all right. This is an excerpt from a longer novel called A Watch of Nightingales, and the action of the novel moves back and forth between the time of this section, which I read, which is in England in 1977, and present-day Washington, D.C., when Mara's older, and comes back to her relationship with Coquilla and her mother as adults, and the novel works back and forth between the two time periods for a while, so it gives you a sense of what's going on.
Thanks for listening to the Indiana Review Bluecast. For more information about IR, find us on the web at indianareview.org.